Well, happy Mother's Day again, WPC. I also want to note that you'll have a chance to celebrate your moms, your loved ones, and all your family just outside with pictures and flowers and goodies. So make sure you do that. This is my first time preaching on Mother's Day. Never had to preach on Mother's Day before, and truthfully, I don't know what else I would do anyways. So thank you all for sharing your morning with me, whether you've been here since I've been here, 7:45 in the morning, or you've been here just a few minutes ago. I'm glad you're sharing this morning with me. If God has created all things, which he has, that means that he has created time and given us to be good stewards of it. And I'm thankful that we're all giving this time back to God through worship. So while today is Mother's Day, I'm going to start with a story from my father-in-law. I know, shocking. He loves to tell me all kinds of stories, but this one in particular has stayed with me for a long time. And some of you may know this story because it's pretty well known, and if you don't, that's okay. It's a fictional story about a starfish, a little boy, and an old man. An old man notices a little boy walking along a beach, just where the waves kiss the shore. As the little boy walks along the water's edge, he stoops, he throws something into the waves, and he keeps walking. The cycle repeats. He stoops, he throws, and he walks. Finally, the old man, fed up with not knowing what this kid is doing, he catches up with the boy and asks him, "What are you doing?" "I'm saving the starfish," replies the little boy. The old man scoffs. "There must be a million of them on the beach. You can't save them all." "You're right," says the little boy as he picks up another starfish. "But I can save this one." And the little boy throws the starfish back into the water and keeps walking. How many of you know that story? Oh, a few of you. That's great. So we love this story, right? I love this story. I love it so much that it's been a story that I refer to when I think about my work here at this church and many others. My role as a mom and my call to be faithful as a Christian. This story reminds me that it's not up to me to save anybody. It's not my job to save anybody. My job, my role, my calling is to be faithful with the task that God has given me to do and to be brave enough to keep walking on the beach. So last week we began our sermon series titled The Remnant, and we talked about how that's not a revelation, any kind of rapture, it's none of that. But we talked about God's desire to redeem and restore. We turned and learned that the remnant is faithful to God. We learned that from Noah's story. That while the world may run towards destruction, we must choose to be faithful and walk with God. Today we turn our eyes to another remnant, but in the book of Exodus, just the next door neighbor to the book of Genesis. And this is the remnant that God saves. But before we open our Bibles or Bible apps, will you please pray with me? Lord, you are our salvation. You provide paths for us when we feel enclosed by trouble. You give us strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Lord, as we stand before your word today, speak over us. Silence any of the doubts and fears that will try to entangle us in bitterness and lies. Holy Spirit, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Prince of Peace, so we can hear you call us forward. Lord Jesus, I know that it is better to serve you above all others. Help me to deliver your word faithfully. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So a couple months ago, I talked about fear, letting go fear. That was during our Lent series. That was the kind of fear that we carry within us, that settles within us and narrows our vision. And we walked through Psalm 23, and we named together that God's presence helps us release that kind of fear because the Lord is our shepherd. I know it's very easy for every pastor ever to get stuck on themes and repeat them over and over and over and over again. And even repeat sermons. Yes, we do repeat sermons. I hate to break it to you. We do repeat sermons. But with that warning, this sermon is not a repeat. I've never preached this one before, and I want to assure you that today's sermon is different. That today we are going to meet a fear that comes from the outside. A fear with chariots and hooves and dust rising behind it. That is where our remnant theme meets us again today. The remnant is not just the people who survive. The remnant is the people who keeps trusting in God even when fear is loud and the way forward is not clear. In moments like this, where fear is coming at us, God is already bringing new life, even when we can't see it just yet. In moments like this, faithfulness becomes its own kind of bravery. Not the absence of fear, but the courage to keep walking with God even in the midst of it. So with that in mind, open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 14, verses 5 through 18. Or if you're text savvy, you can have it on your Bible apps, or you can let the words pour over your ears. It begins like this. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, "What have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services." So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots, along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi Hahiroth, opposite of Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Just like that fictional story I just said about the little boy, our scripture today opens up on a beach. But it's not a calm one. This beach story begins long before Moses and the people of God even get there. That it begins way before a staff, chariots, and people rushing at the Israelites. It actually begins with two brave women. Before Israel ever stood at the edge of the sea, the story began with two midwives, Shiphrah and Puah, who were asked to participate in fear tactics by Pharaoh. Before the waters rose like walls on the Red Sea, the unnamed Pharaoh wanted the Israelites to see the world the way he did, through scarcity, threat, and control. But the named women, Shiphrah and Puah, refused. They refused. In Exodus 1, 15 through 20, I invite you to open there when you have the time, describes the midwives' bravery despite the commandments, the same Hebrew word commandment that Pharaoh gives. The Bible tells us that the midwives, these life givers, as they are also called, feared God, which doesn't mean that they lived in terror of God. It means that they recognized whose authority was real, where the real power lived. They understood that God's purposes were spacious and life-giving and meant to be fruitful, while Pharaoh's world was narrow and constricting. They weren't unaware of the danger. They knew what Pharaoh was capable of, but they trusted that God, who makes room, was more than feared than the ruler who tried to squeeze them out. That the God of the universe was more to be feared, that is respected, than the ruler who tried to squeeze them out. Their bravery wasn't loud. It wasn't dramatic. It was quiet. It was ordinary faithfulness in the face of real danger. And because they stayed faithful, because they feared God more than Pharaoh, life continued. Because they stayed faithful, Moses lived. Because they stayed faithful, the people standing on that beach existed. I heard one person say, courage is the rarest of all the good traits. But friends, that is the other defining trait of the remnant, is courage. It's bravery. It is this contrast between life and death, between the remnant's courage and the Pharaoh's fear-based world, that carries us straight to Exodus 14. The people of God has called out of darkness. The people that God has called out of darkness had watched God work through Moses. Moses, whose very life was preserved by bravery, was now standing as their leader. And now they're standing at the edge of the sea. And the fear of Egypt is now surrounding them all over again. Because even though they had left Egypt, Egypt had not fully left them. Egypt still lived within them. When the Israelites looked back or lifted their eyes up, of course they saw Egyptians. Of course they did. In the Hebrew, the word Egypt is Mitzrayim. Can we say Mitzrayim? Well, we can say it confidently, y'all. Mitzrayim sounds like the words narrowness or even distress. Israel knows that Egypt is the land of distress. Egypt is the constricting place, the place where life feels squeezed in and fear presses in. And in that moment, standing between the sea in front of them and the narrow place behind them, their vision has become narrow. In just two verses in Exodus 14, verses 11 through 12, the word Egypt or Egyptians appears five times. Five times in two verses. And of course they repeated it. Of course they did. They felt like the walls were closing in. Of course they repeated it. They were standing between that narrow place behind them and the unknown wilderness ahead of them. The remnant on the beach doesn't know yet, or the word means to understand, know, or see. They don't know that God sees them and hears them. They see Egypt, and they know what Egypt can do. They see the Red Sea, and they see the wilderness beyond that. And to them, that looks the same. What's the difference? Wouldn't it be better to serve or to minister or to worship Pharaoh than to return into something unfamiliar? What if that was harmful? The wilderness was. What this remnant in Exodus 14 and what every remnant needs to understand, needs to know, is that God is a God who sees, hears, saves, and fights for the ones that he claims. Their cries reach his ears. That's Exodus 2. Their cries reach his ears. God remembers his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God looked upon his people and he knew the suffering they had experienced. And now standing at the edge of that sea, that God has not changed. That God has not turned away. That God has not forgotten. The God who heard them in Egypt is the God who stands with them now. Moses' words speak over their fear-filled words, and he says, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm. You will see the salvation the Lord will bring you today." That word salvation is Yeshua, also Joshua, or even Jesus. The same root word means to rescue or to deliver. Don't just see with your eyes, remnant of God. Don't just see with your eyes, but know in your hearts that salvation is before you. God sees you. This is not the end. Moses adds that the Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. These famous words from Moses carry significant meaning. Many of us may imagine that the Lord fights by riding his own chariot with incredible strength. And that sounds awesome. But when Moses says that the Lord will fight for you, the Hebrew carries a second meaning. The same root for fight also means to nourish, the root word for bread. Therefore, the word picture is clear. Pharaoh, who constricts life and starves out the people, God sustains that people. Pharaoh, who tightens the world, God feeds his people in the very place fear tries to get them. And the remnant of God needs only to be still. Some of us may be thinking, I have to stand perfectly still and do nothing. It also means to move in silence. Moses is not telling them to freeze. He's not telling them to do nothing. He's telling them to quietly move forward. He's telling them to quiet that fear that says, this is it. You're trapped. There's no way forward. God's not here. Silence those fears and move bravely. Move bravely in the knowledge of salvation, because the God that we worship is the God of life. That is the beach scene. We know that where we stand. Some of us may be standing between what we've left and what we cannot see. Some of us may know what it may feel like to feel in that narrow place, to feel the pressure of leaving that narrow space behind us and seeing the uncertain place in front of us. Some of us know what it feels like to hear the voice of fear saying, turn back, settle, and shrink. Some of us are standing at our own Red Sea right now. Some of us are carrying questions we don't have answers for. Some of us are trying to be brave for other people who depend on us. Some of us are exhausted from holding things together. And some of us are still wondering, does God see me? Does God hear me? Does God really nourish me? And in that place, your place, God speaks those same words he said. Be still, move forward. I will fight for you. I will nourish you, and I will make a way. This doesn't mean we have to be fearless. This doesn't mean we have to be impressive. This does not mean that you have to have everything figured out. It means we have to be faithful, that you only have to take the next step. You only have to trust God, the God who widens the world, the same God who is walking with you. The God who is nourishing the remnant says, trust me, trust me. We are all called to move forward in faithfulness and bravery, not to look back and say, I missed those starfish behind me. Not to become hard-hearted that we don't even see what's in front of us. Not to scoff at those who still trust God, even with the smallest of starfish. And not to let fear decide the shape of the future. This kind of bravery God is calling us to is not recklessly fearless, but it rightly fears the Lord. This kind of faithfulness is sustained by the God who both contends and nourishes. The remnant is brave. Not because they feel no fear, but because they stay faithful in the face of it. The remnant may not be the strongest. The remnant may not be the most powerful. The remnant is not the ones who never tremble. The remnant is the one who keeps walking in faithfulness with their eyes and hearts settled on God's salvation. Let's pray. Saving God, you are the one who sees us, the one who hears us, the one who knows the narrow places that we walk from, the places that we carry, the fears that rise behind us. You are the God who stands with your people at the water's edge, the God who widens what fear tries to enclose us in. You are the God who nourishes us when we feel empty and strengthens us when we feel small. Lord, I know that there are some standing on their own Red Sea today, some who are just tired, some who are uncertain, some who are trying to be brave for other people, some who are trying to find life in dead spaces, some who are wondering if you're still here. Speak over us again and again the words that you spoke on the shore, and give us courage for the next faithful step. Give us eyes to see your salvation rising before us. Even the waters haven't parted just yet. We pray this all in the name of Jesus, our salvation, our bread, and our way through the waters. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.